Tonight, I have just a simple message, and I know as I start, I'm going to preach on the subject, what we owe our dads. What we owe our dads. And I know some of you, you don't have fathers that are living any longer, and you say, well, how will this message apply to me? I can't give my dad anymore those things that you're talking about. I want you to listen, and I'm going to show you how it will apply to you as I get into the second part of my message. I have 3 points, but I make them twice. And so if you'll just stick with me through the first part, when we get to the second part, it'll apply to every single person here. I hope if your dad is still alive that you took the opportunity today on Father's Day, and I hope you just don't do it on Father's Day, but I hope you took the opportunity today to get in contact with him some way, either a card or a phone call, or if you're close enough, a visit, just to tell him thanks for being your dad, tell him that you love him, and thank him for all the things that he did for you. But tonight, I want to mention 3 things that we owe our dads. Again, your dad may be gone, but again, just please stick with me. 3 things that we owe our dads. First one I'd mention to you is love. You go to the Webster's Dictionary and you'll find a definition that says something like this: an intense, affectionate concern for another person. And I guess that may be what the world's definition of love is, but if you go to the Bible, which is about the God who is love, if you go to the Bible where it says, for love is of God, you can find a better definition of love. And you've heard me say it many times before on occasions like this. Love is your willingness and your actions to meet somebody else's needs before your own. And I would submit to you tonight that the greatest expression of love that history has ever seen is contained in John 3:16 and displayed on Calvary's cross when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God had no reason to do that other than the fact that he loved us. It met no need of his to send Jesus to die in our place. It met our need. And the greatest expression of love, that, and God loves us in many ways. And you've heard me say again many times that he expresses that love to us each day by giving us air to breathe, by letting us live in this world that he has created. And every single day, if you look for it, you can find a way where God says to each one of us, I love you. I love you. But the greatest expression of that love is when he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. And so we owe him our love. And we owe our dads our love. We owe our dads our love. Let me just give you a couple quick reasons. Number one, because his love brought us into the world. You know, before you were born, your dad planned for you. And I know mom was a part of that as well, but he was a part of it. And he planned for you. I mean, they got all the furniture together, and they got the room together, and they started buying clothes and all the things that we would need when we were a little baby. Together, mom and dad agonized over what would be your name. And they wanted to pick a name I think many parents think about this just like they did in Bible days, that would speak to your character. Not the character like Bill is, but the character that we want our children to have. And they dreamed about what your future was going to be. They prayed for you before you were born. And your dad's love brought you into the world. And so we ought to love him because of that. We ought to love him because his love kept us alive. Mom and dad's love. You know, a lot of little babies that are born in the world, they can do a lot of things when they're immediately born. They can walk, and they can. Some of them can know how to eat immediately. And all that for a human baby has to be taught. And if it wasn't for mom and dad, we wouldn't have stayed alive after we were born. They had to do everything for us. There was nothing that we could do for ourselves. And so when we ought to love our dad and our moms, and I'll just say dad because it's Father's Day, but know that I'm talking about both of them tonight. We ought to love them because when we were first born, they did everything for us. Their love kept us alive. We ought to love them because even today, if your mom or your dad is still alive, they love you no matter what. Now, they may not agree with the lifestyle that their children have chosen. They may not agree with the decisions that that you have made. But most moms and dads that I've been exposed to, even those that are extremely disappointed in their children and the choices their children have made, tell me we never quit loving them. Doesn't matter what they do, doesn't matter what kind of situations they get into, we never stop loving them. Story of the prodigal son is a good picture of dads and moms today. That one who took his inheritance, went into a far country, wasted it in riotous living. And you read the story of the father of the prodigal son. And you read about that day that he comes back. And the father sees him in the distance. It implies to me that every day he was looking for him. Every day he was looking in the distance, waiting for that prodigal son to come home. And there's many moms and dads today that do that same thing. Their children may have, again, made choices that they don't agree with, but they never, ever stop loving them. And then, number four, we got to love them because most dads want their kids to love them. I remember when Adam was a little kid and his sister was a little kid. By the way, I got to tell you, I got a Father's Day card from Jessica today. Of course, on the front it had a cat. She knows how much I love cats, so there was a cat on the front of it. And you'd open it up and it says this, "Dad, thanks for putting up with all the whining." And so I wrote her a note before I left home and I said, "Thanks for not whining too much. It's easy to put up with." But when they were little, and when I didn't think they were loving me enough and telling me enough, I grab them and give them one of the, you know, one of those slobbery kisses. You know what I'm talking about. You've done it. And I told them, "I love you." And then they felt so bad that they had to say it back. "I love you too, Daddy." Beck, I'm not talking about when he was a teenager. I'm talking about when he was a little bitty kid. But you know, I like it even today. Just about every time Adam and I talk on the phone, before we hang up, he says, "Love you." And I say, "I love you." And we ought to love our dads because they love us. Number two, the second thing we owe our dads is honor. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Again, you go to the dictionary, it says esteem, respect, and reverence. But I like what the Bible talks about honor. It talks about honoring God and honoring our parents, and it uses the word fear. Not fear of being afraid, but honoring them in such a way that, number one, we're afraid to disobey them, because we know that there is a penalty for disobeying the rules. And you know, I didn't understand it when I was a kid, but as I look back on it, I honor my dad today, and I did when I was growing up, because of that razor strap that he kept in his upper drawer. I learned that I needed to honor my dad, and I'll get into my next point, that I needed to obey him because I was afraid not to. Because I knew that if I broke the rules, and he always seemed to find out about it, when I broke the rules, I was going to get it. And so I honor him today because I had a dad that loved me enough to keep me within his boundaries. And I also honor him today because I want to please him. There was a point in my life, and I can't point to the day, I can't point to how old I was, but there was a point sometime in my teenage years where I quit honoring my dad because I was afraid, And I started honoring him because I wanted to please him. I wanted him to be proud, not in a sinful way, but I didn't want to do anything that would dishonor him. And honor shows up in several ways. It shows up in our respect for him. And I would say to all the little kids that are here, don't ever disrespect your dad. You always hold him in the highest respect. And here, let me just give you an example of what I mean by that. And I'll talk to the big kids as well, those of you that your dads are still alive. If the President of the United States came to your house, and I don't care about your political affiliation, I don't care about what you think about the war, just forget about all that for a second. If the President of the United States came to your house, you would welcome him with open arms. You would give him a seat of honor. You would treat him not so much because of the man. And again, I think we got a good president. I'm not talking about that tonight. You would honor him and treat him with respect, not because of the man, but because of the office. Because of the office. You ought to do the same thing, and we ought to do the same thing for our dad. I'm glad that God's given us dads that not only because of the office, but because of the person, we can give him our respect. You know, the Bible talks about some pretty harsh punishment for kids in the Old Testament that didn't respect their parents, that either cursed them or smiteth them. That's what the Bible, hit them. That's what the Bible uses, the word smiteth. The punishment for that was in the Old Testament was death. And I want to tell you, I know there's nobody here who say, well, I've never cursed my dad, I've never cursed my mom, I've never hit them in any way. But I want to tell you that neglecting them is the first step of going down that road. And I'll tell you tonight, and again, I'll just use this example. If the President of the United States called you and said, hey, Brother Clint, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I got a half hour. I just want to call you on the phone and see how you think things are going. And I dare say if he did that to any one of us, that at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings, we would free our schedule and we would say, okay, Mr. President, you call. I'll be right at the phone. And I'll talk to you for that half an hour. We would look forward to it. We would count it as a privilege. And we would arrange our schedule to do that. We'd make the time, again, not so much because of the man, but because of the office. We would make the time to speak to him. Now here's my point. Our dads should be more important to us than the President of the United States. We ought to talk to them. And I'll tell you tonight, I think one of the biggest sins that children commit toward their fathers is neglect. And I'm not talking about going over to their house every day. I'm not talking about eating lunch with them every day. I'm just talking about talking to them. Talking to them. Scheduling a time, maybe if they live far away from you. Scheduling a time once a week where you call them on the phone and say, hey, Dad, this is our time. I'm going to free it up. Hope you can. And same thing would go if your dad lives close to you. I'm going to free it up. And this is going to be our time. We're going to visit. We're going to talk. So we owe him our honor. That shows up in our respect. And then number three, we owe him our obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God says it's right for us to obey our parents. Thank God that we had parents. Most of us had parents that taught us that it was right to obey. That taught us that if we stepped outside of the line, we were going to get it. Not because they were mad at us. And I wish I had time tonight, because some of you have told me, by way of testimony, some of you have told me some wonderful and sometimes humorous stories that have stuck in my mind about you and your dad. about how that correction was meted out and how it always came when it was deserved. And I wish I had time tonight to share some of those with you, but I don't. But you can probably look back in your experience and you can thank God for the dad that He gave you that taught you how to obey. And by the way, obedience is something that your child needs as they go out into this world and interact with this world. And I dare say that some of the best workers, some of those who have the best success in their work life, were taught by their father and their mom to be obedient. And here's what I mean by that. And I preached a whole sermon on it one time. To do what they're told in the way that they're told, to do it immediately, to do it completely, and to do it with a good attitude. And I tell you what, when I find a person like that, I try to get them on my team. I want them to work for me. I don't want somebody to work for me that's going to argue with me about what needs to be done. I mean, I want to accept their opinion, and sometimes I learn a lot from the people that work for me. But I don't want somebody that works for me that's going to argue with me about every single thing that I ask or tell them to do. And we do our children a disservice, not only in an eternal sense, but in a sense of they got to live in this world when we don't teach them how to obey. So what do we owe our dads? We owe them our love. We owe them our honor. We owe them our obedience. Now, let me move to the second part of my message. What do we owe our Heavenly Father? I would submit to you tonight that we owe God, our Heavenly Father, the same three things. We owe Him our love. It was His love that brought us into this world. You've heard me say many, many times before that there has never been an accident with God. Every single little life that was conceived in the womb was planned by God. Was planned by God. Planned with a purpose. Every life that's conceived, God had a purpose for that life. Aubrey, my boss, and I were talking the other day, and I don't know how we got on it, but we got to talking about abortion and what a wicked sin that it is. And he made this statement that sort of stuck with me. He said, you know, we may have aborted the doctor that was going to find a cure for cancer. We may have aborted the doctor that was going to find a cure for leukemia. We may have aborted the engineer that was going to figure out how cars could run on electricity. How many lives have the world ended before they ever got a chance to live and do what God wanted them to do? We ought to love God because His love brought us into this world. We ought to love God because His love keeps us alive. I was thinking about it as I was driving home from the hospital today. As I was walking out, there was a little boy, probably 5 or 6 years old, that was being discharged from the hospital. And I found a place to park over at Hurley where you only have to walk about 40 or 50 feet to get in, but it's right by the discharge door. And it looked like to me a little 5-year-old boy. He was in a wheelchair, and he sort of was like this. And I got to thinking, why him? Why wasn't it me? Why wasn't it my son?
And I was reminded of the Sunday school lesson this morning. When we forget what God has done for us, and we forget that every good and perfect gift, and by the way, I would put the health of our children in that category. When we forget what God has done for us, we begin to take Him for granted. And we don't love Him the way we should. And by the way, I'll just tell you tonight, just like a little baby can do nothing when they're first born, that's the attitude we need to have toward God all the time. He wants us to depend on Him completely all the time. That's what faith is. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. He wants us to stay dependent upon Him. And one of the ways we express our love to God is always being dependent upon Him. And by the way, He wants us to love Him just like our dads and our moms want us to love them. You know, God didn't create us and make us because He needed somebody to run the world. He didn't make us because He needed a book to be written or a painting to be painted or a statue to be made or something to be invented. He made us to love Him. That's why He made us, to love Him. Tonight, I would just encourage you, love on God. Don't make Him do what we have sometimes done as parents, and I know some of you do it as grandchildren. You go and grab your little child, and you go and grab your little grandchild, and you give them one of those slobbery kisses, and you say, I love you. And what you're hoping they say back is, I love you too, Mommy. I love you too, Daddy. I love you, Grandma. I love you, Grandpa. Sometimes that's what God has to do to us. He gets us to the end of the rope, so to speak, so that He can show us that He loves us. So we'll say back, God, I love you. Number two, I got to hurry. We owe God not only our love, but we owe Him our honor, our respect. And I'll just use the one example that I did before. And I'll say the biggest sin that Christians have toward their God is neglecting Him when it comes to spending time in prayer. What would be wrong with setting a time, not just once a week, but once a day, maybe twice a day, and covenant with God and say, Lord, at 6:30 in the morning and at 8:30 at night, it's going to be our times. I'm going to put it on my schedule, and as best I can, I'm not going to let anything interrupt it. And it's going to be our time just to talk. Just the two of us. Don't neglect God. No, don't neglect the opportunity that He gives us to spend time with Him. And then number three, we owe God our obedience. We owe God to stay in this book and to follow the things that are in this book. And to do the things that are in this book. You know, I was going to change the invitation song this morning. I'll change it tonight. Adam, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way, and I believe this with all my heart, to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Father.